Do you think it's okay for a parent to choose a school for their children where spanking is used for discipline? Now, he's referencing a conversation we'd had not too long ago about, well, I think I was the one that said it. I think I said that if you're somebody that wants your children to have that sort of discipline in their life, if you want to send your kids to a school where that sort of behavior is practiced, then you should be free to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, you and I differ on what we think about spanking as a practice, a parental practice, but both of us agree that parents should be able to do it if they want.
Right. I personally am firmly against it. However, David continues. He says, beating a child is initiation of force, and the child is a separate person from the parent. The child owns itself and has a right not to have force initiated on it. This is not something the parents can override without abusing their power over the child. There are obvious parallels between the relationship between child and parent and between citizen and state. The child is powerless to stand up for itself and defend against unjust punishment inflicted by bad parents. Likewise, the citizen has a hard time standing up to a bad state because they hold the power of force. He finally asks, do you believe a parent owns his or her child? Now, personally, I do not.
I don't either. I believe that the child is a ward of the parent.
I think that a child, should it want to get out of its parents' life, should it want to strike out on its own, you know, if you're 14 and you get in a fight with your parents and you decide that you've had enough and you want to go out on your own, then best of luck to you. You're probably not going to make it very far, and you'll probably come crying home to mommy and daddy because, well, you couldn't find any work. You can't pay the bills because you're only 14. You have no skills. I mean, eventually you're going to probably come home. But if indeed they want to go off on their own and do that, they should be free to do so.
I have to agree. I don't think that I think that if a child wants to leave home, then that child should be allowed to leave home.
Right.
Now,
it would be wrong for the parents to, for instance, imprison the child and prevent it from leaving.
I would have to say that's true,
okay.
And it happens, unfortunately.
Right.
Also, you know, I know that there's a network out there that police sort of help in finding lost children, and I think that there would be a there's also not-for-profits that help in finding lost children, and I think that that would grow if the police weren't involved in that particular aspect. And I think that police would probably report things like that to these not-for-profits who would try to get a hold of parents. I don't think that we would have a rash of children running away anything more than we do now.
Right, sure. Sure, I don't think that
passing a law that says children can't leave home until they're 18 doesn't stop children from leaving home. I mean,
sure, you ran away as a kid, didn't you?
I as a young kid, and then I moved out at 16. Did I come back? Yep.
The real world was hard.
Living with your mom now, as a matter of fact,
yes.
35.
A pending divorce will do that to you.
Well, David says he doesn't understand why we think it's all right to have parents, to allow parents, in our minds, to allow them to send kids, their kids, to a school where they can be beaten. Why is that okay? Now, I don't think it's okay. I'm against spanking kids, let alone hitting them with other objects. I'm against spanking a child with your hand. I'm against slapping a child. You know, I think that that's violence. I think that when you spank a child, you're teaching them that violence solves problems. So I am vehemently against it. However, I understand that I'm in the minority. I understand that most Americans think that spanking's an okay way to discipline a child.
Including me.
And it would be just insane for me to suggest that we should somehow legislate against this. Look, it's your life, it's your kids. I may feel bad when I find out that you spank your children. I may want to, for instance, ostracize you over it, but I would never consider passing a law about it to prevent you from spanking your children. I may think that you're a lousy parent, and I may feel like doing something for your kids, but I've got my own life to live, and really, there's so many kids out there that are being spanked. It's an impossible task to try to stop this from happening.
Yeah, it's the stunning majority of children that are probably being disciplined with spanking. I think that most people stop spanking at around age 5 or so, when children's communication skills get up to the point where you can talk to them about these issues.
Okay.
Some of it goes on. I mean,
Some of it goes on till much later. I mean, with
I think that
belts and all kinds of implements.
I think that if you're using punishments like spanking on a 16-year-old, maybe you should rethink that. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know the specific circumstances.
And in our world, Mark, if we had our druthers, the 16-year-old, if they were indeed getting spanked, they would be free to leave. Right? So,
right. Well, I would think that a 16-year-old would probably not leave if they were getting spanked, but would leave, would possibly leave if they were getting actually beaten.
Hmm.
You know, if you're disciplining a child by hitting them on the back of their thighs or the back on their butt, I don't feel like that's infringing on the child's rights. I don't think that's abuse.
Does it become abuse if you put a metal pipe in your hand and hit them on the back of the butt with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's just only if it's the person's hand, then it's not abuse. It's not beating. Then
I think that you
spanking.
Can. I think you can use for older children. I think you can use something like a switch. It depends on your. It depends on your strength. I mean, now, if I use a switch...
what is a switch? Is it when you...
It's a stick.
A stick from the backyard?
Yes.
Stick from a tree? Okay.
If I use a switch...
Go fetch me a switch.
I can, you know, I can put a big old welt on an adult.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, if it's a 95-pound woman who needs to discipline her children, perhaps a switch is in order, you know? My mom used a wooden spoon.
Personally, I think it's never in order. But what do you think? Where are you at on spanking children? Are you a parent that has managed to raise... Because whenever we've talked about this in the past, the spanking advocates will come out of the woodwork and say, well, you don't have a kid. You don't know what it's like. When the kid is out of control, you have to do something. And I see where they're coming from. I understand, which is one reason why I don't want to be a parent, because I might... I might get it in my head to beat the kid too, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt somebody else. Anyway, so if you're a parent that has raised their children without spanking and has had incidences where the child's been out of control, the child's been really unruly, and you've managed to somehow calm that situation down without raising a hand to your child, that's what I want to hear about tonight. Is it possible to raise an unruly child without using violence? 1-800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. That's 1-800-259-9231. Or if you just want to talk about how great you think spanking is, you can do that too. So you were spanked as a child, isn't that right, Mark?
Sure.
And you feel like it worked out for you? It was a worthwhile experience?
Yeah, I think it's fine.
When did your mom stop?
I think the last incident of spanking that I can recall is I was probably 7 or 8 or something like that, and my dad was in the bedroom, and I thought it'd be a good idea to wake him up by blowing a loud whistle right next to him.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah.
You little brat.
Well, it seemed like a good idea, you know?
Okay.
So he tore out after me, and I went to the bathroom and locked myself in.
Right.
And he was definitely going to spank me.
You had to come out sometime.
If he had gotten a hold of me. I don't believe that that happened, though.
You don't believe you actually were spanked?
I don't believe so. So, I mean,
that was just the last time Dad was really angry with you?
That was the most terrifying experience I had centered around spanking. I do recall having been bad. My mother used to go to the laundromat to wash our clothes as opposed to having something at the house. Mm-hmm. So I remember having been bad at the laundromat. And I don't know what I did. And she said that she was going to spank me when she got home. I think she was experimenting in parenting here, by the way. And she, you know, sure enough, when we got home at some point, she's like, okay, it's time to get spanked. And I, you know, I didn't want to get spanked. I was crying. I was like, no, I don't want to get spanked. You know, what am I going to do? And so she did spank me.
I find it interesting that you don't remember what the incident was.
I assume I got spanked. I really don't remember. I know that she was firm in her resolve to do it, and I don't really remember the spanking.
Well, the reason I find it interesting that you don't recall what the incident was that brought about the spanking is that when I was being brought up by my parents, they spanked me maybe a couple times before I was 2. Then they decided, how they came across the information, they decided it was a bad idea to spank children, so they stopped. The only other incident of violence I ever had was when I was a teenager, and I guess I must have mouthed off to my mom or something. I don't remember what it was about either, but all I remember is that my mother slapped me across the face. And it didn't, you know, it wasn't like painful thing. Probably 15, 16,
okay.
Something like that. But I don't remember what the incident was about.
Well,
And I think that, you know, it's just the violence that I remember. I think that's important that, you know, when you're looking back, You don't remember the incidences. You remember the violence that you experienced at the hands of people that purport to love you. And I just think that's wrong.
Well, I understand what you're saying, looking back 10 years and not recalling what the incident was. But I think that it probably teaches in the short term, and then it becomes rote for you. You don't do that activity again.
I don't know if our board op is paying much attention here, but we should be in the middle of a break right now. So I'm hoping that the commercials are running. And support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to Amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, Amazon.freetalklive.com. That's Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Currency devaluation, inflation, one and the same. If you had deposited $100,000 in a bank at 1% in a 30-month period dating from May 24, 2005, here is what happened to your funds. The dollar lost 33% of its value in that time frame. The bank paid you 1%. Your $100,000 now has a net purchasing power of $68,000. Here is reality. The devaluation of currency equals real inflation. Keep in mind how the value of your paper assets are measured in dollars. Gold in the same time frame increased 35% in value. Learn how to protect and profit in this truly unstable world economy. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. On our website, we got all kinds of fun stuff, and it's all for free. The bulletin board system is there. Over 110,000 posts for you to surf around through. Serious issues, fun stuff as well. You'll find it all at bbs.freetalklive.com. Again, that's bbs.freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project's First 1,000 Pledge. Are you just going to talk about freedom, or are you going to start living it now? Learn how the First 1,000 Pledge can make it happen today at freestateproject.org. That is freestateproject.org. How far, in your mind, is it going too far for parents to be spanking their children? I think so. I think it's out of line. I think that you should be able to raise your kids without raising your hands to them. But people vehemently disagree on this. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. My parents managed to raise me without beating me.
Too often.
Well, no, they did it when I was one year old or something like that, maybe once, and then they decided that spanking their kid was a bad idea, so they adopted a no-spanking policy, and everything from then on out went fine. But maybe I just wasn't a hellish child. Maybe I wasn't as bad as some of these parents' kids are. And so what I want to know is there anybody out there that's raised kids without spanking that were pretty hellacious children, and you managed to somehow control them without violence? 1-800-259-9231. Also, if you just want to comment on your upbringing, you know, whether or not you felt that spanking was effective in your life, you may do that as well. Or bring up whatever's on your mind. That's why we call the show Free Talk Live.
How about some spanking horror stories? I always love those.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in my... like mine, for instance. Thought it was a good idea to blow the whistle right next to Dad, and he came tearing out of the bedroom after me, and I locked myself in the bathroom and escaped spanking.
Sure, that too. Taylor in Oklahoma, listening on KGWA. Taylor, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello.
Hey, how you gentlemen doing?
Good, hey, Taylor. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I just was going to say, I'm one of the callers that's called in. I do, you know, spank my children. But first, you know, when I was a kid, I think what kept me out of a lot of trouble, you know, with my dad, was knowing that I was going to get a spanking.
Really?
And it really did. I mean, I guess it was the thought of, you know, you're fixing to do something wrong, right? We all were in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You're a kid, you're making decisions, and you think, hold on, you know, if I do this and he finds out, you know, it's not just going to be a verbal talking. It's going to be, I'm going to get my butt spanked. So I think that kept me out of a lot of trouble.
Well, okay, you can say that, and maybe it did. But in my case, I knew that if I was going to do something bad, that my privileges would be taken away. The things that I liked would be taken away. I wouldn't be allowed to play my Nintendo, for instance. Wouldn't be allowed to watch television. So there would be things that I really enjoyed doing that I wouldn't be able to do if I got in trouble. And that was effective for me. So is it necessary to spank your children? I don't think so.
Well, you know, I think that there's two sides. And absolutely, do I ground my children now? Absolutely. You know, and I think there's a fine line between when you spank and when you don't. If your kid just outrageously is disobedient, ugly, rude in front of, you know, whatever you're having guests over, you're doing this, they're rude to the guests, maybe that's a spanking. If they spill milk on the floor, you don't grab a switch from the backyard and you know, spank their butt. So, you know, I just think there's different levels. There's times when I ground, and there's times when I spank. And the problem is, you know, just like both you gentlemen were talking about, there are people out there who are not good judges of character, and they just spank their children for everything.
Yeah, they're very indiscriminate about it. Sure.
Taylor, I feel like you brought up a really good point here. Is spanking, you know, it perhaps it's not the greatest punishment in every circumstance, but it's effective and quick. And I think that's the biggest thing that you good positive point you can say about spanking is it works very quickly, as opposed to other punishments, which are like, oh, little Ian, if you're getting out of control here in the supermarket, I'm going to take away your privileges. Well, then what are you going to do to me, Mom? Because now you're taking away my privileges. I'm just going to scream louder.
Well, what about the kids that get immune to the spankings? Then it's a quick punishment and it's over with, and they don't mind, and then they just keep acting out.
I think you're talking about older children at that point, and you know. Hopefully you've gotten better at dealing with your kids. Some kids are just out of control at 9 and 10.
Taylor, how old are your kids?
7 and 4. So the 4-year-old's my boy, so obviously you understand he's probably gotten a couple of switch-ins in his upbringing so far. My little girl, I think she's had two in her lifetime.
When was the last
one? It's probably when she was probably 4, maybe 5.
Would you consider doing it again at this age and beyond, or is it out of bounds at this point?
You know, it's different. It just depends on the situation. I really do. And I agree with both of you. I think I merge what y'all are talking about with the spankings. It's not you're in trouble, you're getting a spanking every time. It's, you know, you ground, sometimes you don't. But, I haven't thought that far. I don't know when the cutoff date is.
Well, I'm not purporting that spanking is the only punishment that parents should use. I think that parents have all kinds of discipline in their quiver of disciplines. The repertoire of discipline. I don't think that spanking should be used all the time. I think it should just be used probably mostly on kids beneath the ages of, you know, five and under and beyond that.
And for Taylor saying that you've only spanked your daughter twice in 7 years, I mean, I can't say anything to that. That's really pretty reasonable. What was the incident that actually begged the spanking?
You know, you guys are probably going to laugh about this, but it was it's horrible. It was something, and I don't even want to talk about what it was, but it was something that was something over and over and over again. Okay, she would not get up and use tissue at night. If that gives you examples, when she was younger,
she was blowing her nose and the.
Well, yeah, she was, but she wouldn't use tissue. So basically, what it turned into is I talked with her every night before we went to bed, probably for 12 months.
Wow.
And we used the groundings, we used all this, and finally we went ahead and I gave her one swat, a really good one.
Was it effective at that point?
It never happened again.
Interesting.
It never happened again. But you know, you don't always use spanking for everything, and especially with the girls. I think it should be different with the little girls.
And I gotta say, sounds to me like you're a pretty good parent, Taylor. I gotta say, you're using spanking the way I would.
I can't say he's being unreasonable. I mean, when I see people spanking their kids, you see the most visible examples of it.
I think that's true.
You see the people in the Kmarts and the Walmarts.
Whooping the heck out of their kids.
Yeah, just the trashy people.
Holding them by one arm and smacking them with the
other. Out of anger, right? You're seeing that out of anger spank. You just can't do it that way or you get in trouble.
And I'm convinced, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, Taylor, I'm convinced that these types of parents that use spanking as a frequent tool, that their kids just simply learn that... Their kids become immune to it. They don't care. The violence escalates things. I think that it's clear to me that these kids are not being brought in line by the spankings because their parents are having to use this so often. If you have to beat your kids that many times in a short period of time, it's clear that you're being completely ineffective. So maybe if you use spanking on a very infrequent basis, as you're saying, Taylor, maybe then it's more effective as opposed to just using it all the time. What do you think?
I think that's right. I do. I agree with what you guys had said too earlier.
Well, Taylor, we appreciate you being out there listening to Free Talk Live, and hopefully we'll hear from you again. Have a great night, man. Thanks. 800-259-9231. Is there a parent out there that has raised an unruly child without using spanking? This is your show. And are you anti-spanking? I want to hear from you. Free Talk Live.
Local folklore has recognized its amazing medicinal properties for thousands of years, but no one knew just how to preserve the nutritional benefits and market the total fruit commercially until Zango, that is. Zango is made from mangosteen, a fruit that grows in the subtropical climates of Southeast Asia. It contains xanthones, the highest concentration of antioxidants found in nature. Modern science is only just beginning to unlock the many secrets of xanthones and their far-reaching potential to improve our health. Zango is revolutionary. Not only has Zango taken the world by storm as an extremely potent functional health beverage, but Zango has become the most exciting and fastest growing home-based business opportunity ever. Life is short, and timing is everything. Unleash the power of Zango today. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633. That's 888-203-6633. Or visit www.mangosteenmarket.com. That's MANGOSTEENmarket.com.
Do you remember when you could eat most anything and not worry about it? Or maybe weight management has always been a problem. Are you frustrated, burned out, and tired of fad diets and marketing gimmicks that don't really work? Do you want a proven system, a long-term solution, to live a healthier lifestyle and properly manage your weight? At WeCanTogether.com, our approach is different. We focus on the whole you, personalized for your unique body composition, individual needs, and personal goals, not the cookie-cutter approach offered by others. Join today and have direct access to real people that are certified health and fitness professionals. Now there is help you can count on. WeCanTogether.com is the most complete, comprehensive wellness and training resource available on the web today. Visit us now and receive your free membership. Go to WeCanTogether.com. That's WeCanTogether.com.
Hey, Bill, I'm buying lunch today. And check this out. I bought a new car.
Wow, John, I guess you took my advice and visited that website we were talking about over lunch last time we met. www.didyourobbillgates.com.
I did, and you were right. I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. And it's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my fifth week.
Whoa, that's awesome. John, your business will keep growing as mine has. In fact, people are joining from all over the world. It's incredible. Everyone should go to www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how this program can help them become financially independent, too.
Thanks a million, Bill, for telling me about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Check, please.
I got this one, Bill.
Sure, John. Let's tell everyone about www.didyourobbillgates.com.
Deal.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. Are you somebody that spanks your children? If so, how often do you do it? I want to hear from somebody out there that spanks their kids a lot. And when I say a lot, we just heard from Taylor in Oklahoma. He says he's done it twice in his daughter's 7 years. I'm presuming there are people listening that do it a few times a year, a few times a month. Once a week, I don't know. I don't know where, you know, what the span is between, you know, what's the, who out there spanks their kid the most? How often is that? You know, obviously some people do it very seldomly, and I think in that case I can relate to that because I know that if I was dealing with a kid, I would have those same urges. So well, I can understand doing it very seldomly.
I'm not sure that the terminology urge is even right when you think about Taylor's instance. He had a discipline problem that went over and over and over again over a 12-month period of time.
Right.
And then he used spanking at the end of that, and it worked, and it was effective. It stopped it.
I can't
that's
argue.
That's not really even an urge.
I can't argue with that. The ones that really bother me are the ones that spank all the time, that use it as the most frequent, constant tool. I think it's the most uncreative form of parenting out there. The toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. If you're one of those parents and you can explain to me why you feel that you need to do that to your children.
I think most people that support spanking do not support spanking their kids
once on a regular basis.
So, you know, that often. I mean, then, you know, I think about some really unruly kids, though, and gosh, I don't know.
I feel like those most unruly kids are being fed the cycle of violence that a frequent spanking parent would bring that about.
Don't you think if you have a really unruly kid though that you're trying to figure out other means besides spanking them to solve all your problems? I mean, obviously,
I guess it depends on who the individual is.
Spanking's not working with the unruly kid.
Yeah, but then they just must think to spank harder, I guess. Let's talk to Alex in Canada. Again, the toll-free number, 800-259-9231, and join us online at freetalklive.com. Alex, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian.
Gentlemen, I'm sort of on the fence here because, you know, I've been spanked when I was a kid, and it kind of teaches you not to do what you were doing, the reason why you got spanked. But, you know, I'm sure if there's parents that spank their kids frequently, that kind of turns into, it doesn't really have any point because, you know, they get over it and they're like, oh, I'm just going to get a smack, and then it doesn't really teach you.
It loses its effectiveness.
Well, yeah, exactly, exactly.
It turns into just an outlet for the parents' anger, I think, in that case.
Yeah, and then that just passes on, you know, it's like a vicious cycle where then the kid's going to beat his kids.
And then the kid's going to hate his parents,
well,
too.
Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm sure my parents had good reason to give me a smack upside the head or spank when I was a kid when you did something really wrong. And then
I don't know about the smack upside the head. It seems like a bad idea.
Okay, smack upside the head, that is a bad idea.
I mean,
I had a couple of those when I was a kid.
I'm not saying that it's the worst thing in the world to do, but I do think that it's a bad idea. You've got a brain in there, and you shouldn't jostle that thing around like that.
True. But I mean, you learn. Like, if it's not something that you screw up every day, and your parents are spanking you every day, I'm sure that's not going to be effective. But you know, if you screw up once and you get a good spanking, you don't do that thing again.
Good point, Alex. Any other thoughts for us tonight?
No, that's about it, guys.
Thanks for the call, man.
All
we appreciate hearing from you. 1-800-259-9231. Well, there's some adults that might could use a good spanking. From Stuttgart in Germany, I believe.
Stuttgart.
English and jubilant soccer German fans celebrating after their team's second round victory over Sweden clashed in Stuttgart on Saturday before riot police moved in.
Wait a second. They hold on. Somebody, fans clashed and the two teams, I'm sorry, who played who and who won?
Apparently they were celebrating Germany's winning over Sweden.
Uh-huh.
They were clashing before riot police moved in to separate them in the city center. Tens of thousands of English and German fans had gathered in the city's Schlossplatz, many of them drinking all day long to watch Germany's 2-0 second round victory, and then trouble broke out shortly afterwards.
I see. So there's English fans, there's German fans. Germany beat Sweden.
Right.
The Germans were so elated due to their beating, and they probably are going on to play England. The English fans didn't particularly like that.
I don't know. It's not.
I'm just guessing.
Anyway, both sets of fans traded punches before dozens of nervous-looking riot police.
They should really
find
a real sport to fight over.
Pushing. Wait a minute. What do you mean?
Like football? Football's worth fighting
this
over.
This is football. Football.
No. Yeah. Right. Please. Those people don't have pads on.
Now, hold on a second, Mark. This isn't very fair of you. Why is it that soccer, also known as football over in the over in Europe, is not a real sport in your mind?
Ah, soccer's for kids.
Can you explain?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I played soccer.
Uh-huh. And when I was a kid, I played a variety of sports.
When
in,
I hit puberty,
physical education.
I played football.
That's it? It's just your personal experience is the reason why it's not a real sport?
Clearly, this is my opinion.
Personally, I hate soccer, but I'm just coming to its defense here. Go ahead.
It's obviously just kind of how I feel about sports in general, and
yeah.
And football holds the title as most manly sport in my mind.
Why?
Because people get hit and mushed and run over. Maybe boxing. Boxing's probably the most manly of sports.
Mm. So the more you get destroyed,
yes.
The more manly it is?
I think that's so. Ultimate Fighting Championship, probably more manly. But to me, stupid.
Okay.
Because it's just so dangerous.
I find I'm not attracted to most sports, but, I mean, soccer has a huge worldwide following, yet here in America, it's almost non-existent. In fact, I was reading an article as to why it is that Americans have this sort of distaste for soccer, whereas the rest of the world seems to love it. And the suggestion was that it doesn't take as much. You don't need much in the way of equipment.
Yeah, it's good for that.
You don't need much in the way of a field. I mean, you just need a flat place with a couple goals.
Yeah, you need a ball, and you can pretty much create a soccer field out of any place of any piece of land.
So maybe it's because it's not as elite of a sport. Maybe it's because pretty much anybody can get into the game. Maybe that's why it doesn't get respect here in America. I don't know. Why do you think that soccer is virtually ignored in America? 800-259-9231. But back into these maniac fans, because these maniacal fanatics are not only attached to the soccer as a sport, but they're attached to baseball and football over here in America. We've seen riots in the streets.
Now, baseball doesn't require that much equipment either, and it's America's pastime. I think it's more about what we're used to.
Yeah, what's more American? Because baseball's just more American, so we're more into
really
it.
All you need to do is play play baseball. I mean, you know, they play stickball in New York City, or did at one point. I don't know if they still do such a thing. But you don't need much to play baseball. You need a bat and a ball, and a glove would be nice, but it's not required.
The other suggestion in the article that was analyzing this was that since we sort of created baseball, it's kind of got that nationalist flavor to it, since we are just obsessed with nationalism here in America, that's one of the reasons why those sports are more popular here.
Okay.
But nonetheless, both sets of fans were trading punches. One German man was seen being taken away from the area with blood on his face. Other fans from both sides were seen being detained by police. A flare was set off. Plastic tables, chairs, and bottles were seen being thrown by fans from either side. There had been little trouble involving English fans at the World Cup so far, but 122 of them were detained in Stuttgart on Friday night for drunken and aggressive behavior. I don't understand the mentality here, Mark. I don't understand how you can be so into a sports that you would want to be violent outside of the sporting arena. How is it that this game... It's a game. How is it that it can mean so much to you that you want to pick up chairs and throw them at people? I don't get it.
Well, I think that the people that would pick up chairs and throw them at people would pick up chairs and throw them at people over anything that they felt strongly about.
How can you feel so strongly about a game?
Well, that's just something that somebody feels strongly about. You can decide in your life what it is you want to feel strongly about. For me personally, violence isn't the answer most of the time. I mean, there is times when violence is the answer.
For instance, someone
trying to steal something from me or use violence against me or my family.
Or the government oppressing you and fighting back against oppression.
Only if they did the things that I'm talking about.
That's fine, but a game? Celebrating outside of a stadium? Turning into a drunken brawl? Can you understand this mentality? 1-800-259-9231. If you are a sports fan and you can explain this to me, why it is you would want to get into a fight with somebody who is a fan of some other team. This is Free Talk Live.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com. Or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Republicans took over Congress more than 10 years ago. Since then, the government has grown by $1 trillion. This spending explosion has happened in part because Congress doesn't read the huge bills they pass. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Our new proposal stops Congress from passing bills they haven't read. It's called the Read the Bills Act. The Read the Bills Act will slow Congress down, way down. It's easy for you to help make this bill the law of the land. You can learn more at DownsizeDC.org. That's DownsizeDC.org.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Tom. Oh, you don't look well.
I took your advice about the spoonful of sugar. It didn't give me the energy you said it would.
Spoonful of sugar, right. That's an embarrassing pastime. I'm a changed woman, Tom. I found the products at opcpure.com to be exceptional. They're all natural, energy-giving supplements, restore your body's health, and keeps you going without groggy side effects.
Spoonful of opcpure.com, huh?
Ooh, I love the sound of that. Just a spoonful of opcpure.com helps the energy go up. Pure, unadulterated, raw energy. Go for it.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals.
Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
United States Pharmacopeia, USP, sets the standard for most food supplements and are used in over 95% of all vitamin and mineral supplements in the world. The problem is that these products have never appeared in any living tissue. They're created in laboratories and are not recognizable to the body's metabolism. Grown by Nature, products are different because they use renatured ingredients, proprietary blends of essential vitamins and minerals with cofactors of proteins, lipids, and complex carbohydrates. Over 50 studies have been conducted on renatured nutrients, and over 20 have been published in peer-reviewed journals proclaiming their superiority. As a result, Grown by Nature vitamins and supplements are now recognized as simply the best available. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and order your Grown by Nature products today. We are what we eat, and since we are of nature, we should eat foods in their natural form. Only Grown by Nature offers a full line of renatured nutrients. Call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, because not all products are grown by nature, but they should be.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231, and get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231, toll-free number. This is the live Saturday edition. That means we're actually here in the studio doing the show just for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online as well at freetalklive.com. Everything on our website is totally free, including the bulletin board system, the archives, the wiki updates, and more. If you like the fact that we give you everything on our site for free, then shop with us. We've got a partnership with Amazon. It is the world's largest internet retailer. And you can go through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That'll take you to Amazon, and anything that you purchase at that point, we'll get a percentage of. So you're going to do the shopping anyway. You're going to go and grab the latest hot DVD or a brand new book or maybe a really old book or something from one of their 30-plus categories, including their new grocery. It's all there, and anything you purchase, we'll get a percentage of if you enter through amazon.freetalklive.com. Great way to get your shopping done. Have it delivered to your door and support Free Talk Live all at once. So talking about these maniac fans clashing in Stuttgart, 122 of them have been detained. They're expected to be detained for days, apparently, by the police. See,
well, they were hitting each other.
Well, okay. Well, in Europe, they don't have the same rights to a speedy trial and all that that we do here. So I guess you can just get sort of detained for a while without actually having any charges thrown against you. In this case, it was a bunch of drunken fans after Germany's 2-0 second-round victory, fighting it out in the streets, throwing tables at one another, chairs, bottles. It's just amazing to me. And this isn't an exclusively European thing. This goes on here in America during playoff games and that sort of thing. Fights and riots and car burnings. I mean, they break out.
It seems like soccer, they get into fights even bigger over soccer than we do over any sport.
Really?
It seems like.
I don't know. I don't keep track of all of the sports fan brawls out there, but it's almost a sport of its own. And of course, it's fueled by alcohol. I mean, that's probably the major factor here. But I was sort of thinking that maybe there was another factor, because I had heard that before the World Cup was starting, Germany prostitution is somewhat legal. I'm not sure the exact status of it there. But apparently the prostitutes were sort of preparing. They were sort of setting up booths or something like that. I don't know exactly how it was going to work, but
I'd really be interested in seeing the prostitution booths.
The sex industry in Germany was really expected to turn out, I guess, in force for all the incoming people that were going to be coming into the area, businessmen, travelers, sports fans, that sort of thing. And apparently there was some sort of a crackdown in advance to where they weren't allowed to do, I guess, what they were planning on doing. So the prostitutes aren't in force like they had expected to be. So what you've got is a bunch of angry guys, drunk, and they probably haven't had sex in a while. So maybe if we would have let the prostitutes do their job in Germany, maybe not, these fights wouldn't have broken out.
I think it might be a stretch, but who knows?
So did you actually have something on prostitution?
I do. As a matter of fact, there's a brothel bust in Boca Raton.
Okay.
How do you like that? Pretty alliterative, huh?
That's great.
Yeah. In Boca Raton, where from the Palm Beach Post, Boca Raton, where gossip is an art form, tongues have been wagging over time.
Is this one of those rich Florida communities?
It is.
Okay.
Yes. Tongues have been wagging over time about Monday's bust of a downtown brothel. Among the alleged Johns are a community stalwart, a disgraced entrepreneur, and a family values supporting Republican operative. But the big question has been, how did Boca cops figure out the alleged customers' names? The city's boys in blue aren't talking, but the reports on the incidents are so precise that they mention the type of sex act and where condoms were used.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. According to Mike Edmondson, state attorney, Barry Kishner's spokesman, cops secretly installed video cameras and tapes, and taped from June 13th to 16th the sex for money at La Place. Officially, it's a lotion establishment. Now, that's one thing about prostitution that people don't acknowledge. People say that you know, prostitution's illegal. But we allow places like lingerie modeling, massage parlor, intimate shower salons, apparently lotion establishments.
Okay.
I mean, if you have a lotion store, something's going on, right? We allow these right on the side of our major highways and essentially look to the side of it. These are brothels. Now, what sort of sex acts are they selling? I can't be certain, but I would imagine that if you come with the right amount of money, anything you want.
It's true.
Essentially, we have legalized prostitution or you know, like, I don't know, sort of gray prostitution.
Yeah,
in the United States.
It's kind of a protected prostitution. These stores that are allowed to exist on the sides of the roads. I mean, the cops know where they are. The cops know about
sure,
the stores.
Do.
In fact,
they live
the cops
there.
The cops also tend to be customers at some of these stores.
But some do, some don't. I imagine
if they cross somebody, if the owner crosses the police somehow, or they don't pay off their bribes, you can believe it. That if they don't pay their bribes to the police, that they're going to get shut down.
Well, I'm not sure that the police are necessarily getting bribed in every circumstance, but I do understand what the terminology you mean.
Hold
by
on
bribe.
Now. No. I mean bribe. For instance, if I'm involved in the police department and I'm a relatively high level police official, and I know that there's a certain place on the side of the road that is allegedly an erotic massage place or whatever sensual massage. And I know that that's what they're calling it, and I know what's going on
there. If your massage place is called Healing Hands, maybe you give real massage. If your massage place is called Angels and Panties, maybe you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's a way to tell.
So, since I'm in the business, the vice-busting business, I sort of know what's going on in there. I could send an undercover unit in there and have him find out that, indeed, they are doing selling sex services. And it would just be a matter of going and approaching the owner and saying, look, I know what's going on here, and if you don't give me $60,000, then we're going to be busting you this year.
Well,
you're not going to know when the bus is going to come. It might be tomorrow, so you've got till the end of the week to pay up. If you don't think stuff like that is going on, you're fooling yourself.
Well,
these guys are paying for protection.
I don't know what's going on there, but the point I'd like to make on it isn't it amazing how there isn't this organized crime thing going on? I mean, you know where the brothel is. Wouldn't you know if some terrible stuff, if mafia guys were hanging out with pistols on their hips right out up front, you know, and people are getting gunned down in the streets?
Not happening.
I mean, if it was drawing drugs in that area, I bet it does draw drugs to some extent to that area. But
really, you're not going to see the brothel-style prostitutes drawing drugs as heavily as you are the streetwalkers. I've seen a study that said that 10 to 15% of all of the prostitutes in America are actually streetwalkers, which means that 80 to 90% of them are in-call girls, out-call girls, the ones that are working in these businesses.
Right.
So if you want to find drugs and you want to find trouble, then get involved with a street hooker, because it's inevitable you're going to find trouble there. But if you're going to a business, you're probably going to see, a somewhat clean environment.
Well, what I'm saying is because it's gray rather than black, because it's gray and we're not seeing all this trouble, perhaps we should just make it legal.
We should.
And, maybe there wouldn't be any problems.
Well, one thing's for sure, if we made it legal, the streetwalkers would go away.
Yes.
They wouldn't be able to compete. You know, the street whores, they're on the low end side as far as the price structure is concerned. But they wouldn't be able to compete, because if prostitution was legal and people could openly compete for price, today, if you go into one of these Jack Shacks or whatever you want to call them, there's a lot of sort of, you have to be really careful. You can't come out and solicit a woman. You can't come out, or you can't come out and offer a certain amount for a certain performance, because then she's going to think you're a cop. She's going to get freaked out. I mean, there's a tête-à-tête going on here.
Yes. You have to imagine there's a dance.
Right. You have to be very careful with. But if these people could actually advertise openly and compete for price, the prices of the internal, out-call, in-call girl services would drop. And therefore, the streetwalkers would have to go away. They wouldn't be able to play the game.
And there could be, would probably, in all likelihood, they would do sort of self-licensing, as it were. They would, people would want to know. I would want to know. I can tell you that. I've never been to one of these places, but if I were to go to a hooker, I would want to know that she's been tested within the last week for some kind of disease. And
you don't get that information now. I mean, if you go to one of these roadside places, you're just sort of taking a risk.
That would be the reason I don't go to one of these roadside places.
So you're sort of taking a risk there. And actually, even on the black market, for instance, an out-call girl, I think that's somebody that goes to your house, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
If you were to contact her, there are some of these girls, as I understand it, they charge a lot. But they do keep records. They do have themselves tested, and they will show. You know, if they're the more upper echelon style prostitutes, that sort of service does exist. But the question is, you know, how do you get in touch with those sorts of things? By the way, this is Free Talk Live. We're not this isn't the how to buy a prostitute. I've never done anything like this. I'm just interested in things that are prohibited, because when the government says you can't do that, it makes me want to know why, and it makes me curious as to what happens when the government says these things. When government outlaws something, what are the results? Well, the results in prostitution are that prostitution is more dangerous, not only for the women, but also for the Johns. Not only dangerous from an STD standpoint, but dangerous from a violence standpoint as well, from a robbery standpoint. And there's more on this. If you have experience in prostitution, maybe on the police side or the actual side of the girls or the Johns, dial us up. 800-259-9231. Hour number two coming up. Free Talk Live.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237. If the